Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. To another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. It's episode 14, and damn, it's going to be a very, very, very good one. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my buddy, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, pal?
Hey, it's a beautiful day today, huh? We were just talking about that. Absolutely glorious October day.
It's about time. It's about time. You know, the last few days have been cloudy. It's been rainy. You know, but now 82 degrees and sunny. Come on, it's October.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, we have a really good show today as we have a very special guest calling in probably within the next 15 minutes. We have Jamie Jacobson from the Lingerie Football League's Green Bay Chill. And it's going to be a good one because not only are we going to talk about the LFL and how Jamie got involved with the LFL, but we're also going to talk about Beat the Shark, which we have going on Fan Junkies, and Jamie's a part of it. And we're also going to ask what her thoughts are on the Shark himself, Jeff Parrini.
that should be fun.
Yeah, and it's been good between them. You know, Jamie's a good sport. You know, her and Jeff, they're going at it.
Listen, I read their article this morning over there on Fan Junkies, and they were doing a little trash talking right in the article. So, it was
thank
fun.
God, thank yeah. God. You know, it's great stuff.
It is.
It really is. Well, listen, you know what? Before we get Jamie on the line and speak to her about everything going on with the LFL and Beat the Shark, let's talk baseball. Curt Schilling, did you read about this? He might have to sell his bloody sock because he's in a lot of debt. Now, let me ask you this. You like to collect. I like sports memorabilia.
Yeah.
How much do you think Curt Schilling could get in the market for his bloody tube sock?
Well, somebody, I guess, will be an idiot enough to pay for it. I can tell you right now, I sure as hell wouldn't want it. You know, I don't know how much you know about Curt Schilling, but he is a major collector himself. I don't know what his collection looks like at this point because, of course, all of his debt issues are well documented at this point.
Yes.
So maybe he has gone through everything else. Maybe he has had to sell off his entire collection. And the last thing remaining is his sock.
You know, but honestly, let's say you were somebody interested in this sock. Okay, now, with all the history behind it, and of course, you know, I'm doing a quotation, you know, with my fingers here like anybody could actually see me. But anyway, with the history behind this sock, who do you think would actually bid on this and how much would they spend?
Well, like I said, I guess there'll be somebody out there. You know, the only people I could think that would probably be anywhere near interested would have to be a Red Sox fan, right?
Well, either a Red Sox fan or David Wells.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if you think about it, it does tie into something Babe Ruth. So who knows? Maybe David Wells will throw him a few bucks for it. But anyway, you know, right now it's on display at the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. But what the hell, man? It's a sock.
Listen, you just said, you know, you and I are both collectors. We collect.
Yes.
All right? Now, even if you were the biggest Red Sox fan in the world, let's just assume for a moment, put yourself in that position. You're a monster Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Is that the type of thing you would want to include in your collection?
You know, it's hard to say. You know what? Let me put it this way. I'm a hardcore Mets fan. If I had a chance to bid on, I don't know, Mark Pelfrey's spit-infested pitching glove, I wouldn't do it, let alone a bloody sock. So it's, you know, I don't know.
A game-worn hat, I can see.
Yeah.
All right?
You know, a game-worn jersey, shirt under a jersey, whatever. But, you know what? But then I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, there's girls that sell their used undergarments on, like, eBay and stuff, and people actually bid on them. So, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, a bloody sock, it's probably not as bad.
Well,
it's sickening, Mike.
You know, I guess it's all relative, I suppose. But Wow. You know, I think it's kind of a shame when you – I mean, in some respects, the story – and I did see the story about Curt Schilling yesterday. In some respects, the mere fact that it's a story at all is kind of sad when you think about it. Because it really – it's not a story about a bloody sock. It's a story about the fact that Curt Schilling has gotten himself into such a situation financially that this is what he's now going to be forced to do.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it. I mean, really, that's the story. The story isn't the bloody sock. The story is the fact that that it would actually be a story that this guy's doing this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You got to give it to him. I mean, you know, he fell back on a lot of things because, you know, he basically personally guaranteed loans to the studio he was doing stuff with, whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, he's not stepping back from it. He's trying to really do what he has to do to pay off all this money.
Well,
you know, there's been other athletes out there that really wouldn't do that.
Well, and we talked a little bit about that the other day because of the story that came out about Michael Vick and the fact that he has blown through a good deal of the money that he's already gotten. But really, when you take a look at what he's done with the money, he's gone to go to pay back a lot of the debt that he had incurred when before he got back into football and things like that. He had money he owed to the IRS. He had money he owed in child support. He had creditors he owed.
Yeah.
So I hear what you're saying, that in this particular case, Kurt's trying to do something to clean up the mess that he's got there.
Yeah. And he made it himself.
As a result of what? He had basically it's a failed video business, video game business. So I hear you, but I don't know. You got to wonder sometimes whether some of these guys can get better advisors on where they should be investing their money.
But, you know, but then again, it's like, you know, who do you trust? You know, because you hear so many things coming out where, like, you know, these agents and these finance guys, they screw over these athletes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows what's true and who knows what's going on. But the Discovery Channel series All-Star Deal is they actually estimated the bloody sock at $50,000 to $100,000. That's a lot of money for a bloody sock.
Can I be honest with you? I'm actually surprised it's not more than that.
Well, you know,
I guess that's the minimum bid.
That's what they're estimating it at. You know, a few people are going to go overboard and overbid it. So,
well, I mean, like I said, there's no way I forget the fact that I'm, you know, listen, I like Boston and all, but I'm not that big a fan that I want his sock.
Yeah.
But even if it were like some, like I said, some player or some team that I really, really, really follow and love, I'm not bidding at all on it. But $50,000 to $100,000, I would have thought that perhaps maybe they would have said that it was more than that. But,
Well, I mean, it is a sock. You know what? I think if it was like a blood-soaked bat that he got bashed over the head with or something, probably would have been worth a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? If Curt Schilling, if you're listening, I'll trade you a pair of my socks for your one sock. You'll have a complete set.
Really? So you want it that for that? Okay, I got.
Well, if I could turn around and sell it for $50,000, why not?
Oh, okay, I got you.
Nice down payment on a home for me. I don't know.
Ridiculous.
But listen, let's stay with the Red Sox quick. You know, before we get Jamie on the line here, they actually, you know what? I'm not going to say they actually did it. I mean, everybody knew this from months ago. They fired Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a shock. Although some people said it was breaking news, which I don't know how the hell that's breaking news because everybody knew about this months and months and months ago, probably since the day he was hired. But let me ask you this. I know we spoke about it. Who do you think is a really good fit for the Boston Red Sox? I already told you I think Manny Acta would be a phenomenal fit in Boston with the Red Sox. But now with Ozzie Guillen, Pops, you know, possibly getting kicked out of Miami and Terry Francona still out there, which you know he's not going to go back to Boston. But Charlie Manuel, if he leaves, or you know, whoever, you know, Wally Backman's out there, and you know he could be a phenomenal manager, especially for Boston. Who do you think would be the quintessential person to fill this role?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be Ozzie Guillen, that's for sure.
Well, Ozzie Guillen's not quintessential to fill any role.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't know because in some respects, that you know, it's funny you're saying. It really wasn't breaking news. No, it wasn't.
No.
When the article, when I first saw the posting on it, excuse me, I guess it was yesterday, I put a notice up on our Frat House Facebook page. And the comment I put was, hey, folks, this isn't news. But I posted it nonetheless. And what I'm saying is exactly what you're saying. It was not news. It almost seemed from day one that he was destined for failure there.
It just wasn't a good fit.
I mean, it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
There were rumors. There were grumblings. There were people that were making comments. Even before the very first day that he managed the team, that it wasn't going to work. I don't know. And you know, you and I, you're right. We talked about this a little bit the other week. I don't know if anybody could have turned that team around until they actually did what they did, which was clean house. That's what that team needed. The team needed to have that done.
Like I said, it's not shocking. So.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm going to say screw Bobby Valentine, screw the Boston Red Sox, screw baseball, because you know what? We have our guest with us.
Well, there we go.
Exactly. So we have Jamie Jacobson on the line from the Green Bay Chill of the Lingerie Football League. Jamie, how are you doing? And thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. You know, we've been talking a lot through the whole Beat the Shark contest that we got going on here for, the last few weeks in the NFL, and it's been fun so far. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, it's exciting. Is he getting scared? I'm getting close to him.
You are. Looking at the standings today, I mean, I know you picked the Cardinals last night, which is a little boo-boo on your part, but, now you're about 8 points behind. So it's still
right.
You got a lot of football left, and I think you can do it. I really think you could catch up to Jeff.
That was an honest mistake, though, picking the Cardinals.
Well, for most people, I mean, I picked the Cardinals, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, I'm giving you a little leeway.
Yeah,
Sharks been wrong.
Oh, he's been wrong plenty in his life, so. Not just in this, but anyway.
Right on.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the Lingerie Football League. I know we had the interview with you today on Fan Junkies, but for the people that didn't read Beat the Shark today, how is it that you got involved with football, and what basically drove you to try out and play for the Lingerie Football League?
I've always really liked contact sports. I mean, that's just something that I love hitting, and, you know, I've been in jiu-jitsu and MMA and boxing, and I love it. I've never played on a football team before, but the tryouts came along, and, I thought the hitting part would be a lot of fun, so... I was nervous. I was nervous as heck, but I went in and I tried out, and I thought, well, the worst that can happen is they don't pick me. I admit I wasn't real great on the receiver drills, the quarterback drill, but as soon as they brought out that tackling dummy, Gilbert said, there's my linebacker.
Just blasting away on it, huh?
Yeah. So that's what I like. I like the line work, the tackling, that's fun. So, it goes hand in hand, and now I'm a year and a half into it, and I love it. And never thought I'd play football in my life, but, I'm really lucky that I have this opportunity.
That's great.
So is that the position you're playing, Jamie? You're on the line?
Yeah, well, I'm playing center.
Oh, okay.
I started last season. I was hoping to be both linebacker and center, and then blew my ACL out.
Ooh.
So I healed up from that and went back in and played the final game and blew it out again.
Oh my god, are you kidding me?
So, yeah, but this time I've at least one fortunate thing for me is we've got a long, long off season. We don't start until April, so this time I'm not pushing it. I'm really taking it easy, and it feels a lot better this time around. And I was so anxious to get back out there, and I tend to push myself a little bit hard.
which is the makings of a great athlete.
Right. Lesson learned, though.
Will you be going into your third season?
This will be our second season. The Chills started last season. That was our first year, and this will be our second season. We've got a little bit of a lapse of time because we've gone to a spring-summer league now.
Right.
So we'll be starting in April.
Well, there's a lot of really good things going on in the LFL. Atlanta getting the expansion team. The Passion moving over to PPL Park. I mean, there's just so many announcements coming out of the LFL now, and it's just growing, and it continues to grow. Are you excited with where the LFL is going, not just as a brand, but from where they started?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it started off as, well, as you know, it was just a halftime show, and with models.
And I
mean, I could just see just over the last, you know, since I've been in it, at tryouts, there were some girls that tried out that had no experience with any, you know, athletics whatsoever. And they were pretty, don't get me wrong. They were gorgeous, but you know, you have to be an athlete. And now, I mean, that's what they look at first and foremost. If you go in there for tryouts and they put you through some, you know, some hard stuff, you know. If you're just a model, I mean, that's great if you look good in pictures, but you've actually got to be able to play and be tough, because otherwise, you're going to get hurt. It's football.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it's come a long way anyway. I mean, now we're picking – the girls are picked solely on their athletic ability. I mean, that's – you know, you've got to be really good. We've got some very tough competition this year. Our team has just changed dramatically. We've got some really good athletes on our team. So I'm very excited to get out there and do some work this year, because I think nobody's going to recognize their team compared to what we were last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Chill just had tryouts, not too long ago, right? Last couple of weeks, I believe.
Yeah. Well, we've had several tryouts, just trying to get as much you know, talent as we can. We actually moved our practices. We practiced down in Milwaukee so that we can draw a bigger, you know, talent pool. So
great.
We get girls coming in from Chicago and Milwaukee, and a lot of them are on the you know, we've got one player on, she's a starter on the basketball team from UW-Milwaukee. You know, we've got some pretty good talent. We've got one sprinter from Australia on our team now. She's amazing. Oh. Yeah, we've got some great talent down there. A couple of girls from Chicago. We stole them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, they made the right decision.
That's some, you know, what are you, firing shots at the Bliss or what?
No, we'll wait till we get on the field with them.
That's
what's
great.
What's an average week like for you during the season, Jamie? I mean, how much time are you spending with this between practice and all of it? I mean, would this be comparable to what we hear one of the guys in the NFL going through?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got, you know, steady practices. We practice 2 to 4 times a week. It's, you know, during the season, it'll be even more. We'll have a lot of four nights in a row stretches for practice. You know, of course, aside from that, we've also got to work out on our own. So on our own time, we've got really heavy workouts and conditioning. So we've got lifting, conditioning, and then the actual practices, which are, you know, 3 hours long to 4 hours long. So it's a lot of work, and the thing is, this is all on top of regular jobs. So all the girls on the team, you know, they've got regular life, so they've got to, you know, handle what they've got to do at home, and they have to be there for practice. So it's really demanding, and any girl who's in this league puts a lot of work into it, and I don't know that a lot of people recognize how much we put into it, but it's all solely just for the love of the game, and that's why everybody's in it right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even with the promotional stuff you guys do, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah,
you guys
really
are so dedicated to doing what you love, which is great, because you don't see that from any other leagues.
Right. And I mean, we know that there's not a lot of people that know about it, and we've just got to get the word out there. And the best way to do it is by meeting people and letting them know that, you know, we're not just a bunch of models and, you know, skimpy outfits running around, that we actually play ball. And, you know, so one by one, we're winning them over, and we're getting a bigger following. You know, hopefully by next season it'll be even bigger than it was last year. But, you know, we had a pretty decent turnout at our games, and, you know, I think people are catching on. So, you know, and also hopefully next season that we won't have the competition from the NFL schedule, so people will be hungry
right.
for football again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's a good move. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. It is a long wait, though. It is hard to wait, but, you know, I think my knee's grateful.
Yeah, I would think.
Well, and
yeah.
Like you said, thankfully for the long layoff, at least you get to heal it and relax it a little more before the season does start.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I'm really thankful, because this gives me another opportunity to play this year, because otherwise I may have had to hold off. So yeah, I'm really fortunate. I'm fortunate, but yeah, it's still hard for the girls to wait, because they just want to get out there and crack some heads.
Yeah. Well, you know what? On Beat the Shark today, you said that your parents are basically your biggest inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they feel about you being a female football player?
Well, my mom, they're so proud. They're both so proud, first of all. And, you know, they both tell me, don't get hurt. You know, they're all worried about me getting hurt because they're parents.
Yeah.
But my dad, he's got two girls. And I think he secretly always wanted a boy. I was kind of always a tomboy. Yeah. And he says to me, you know, even after this second surgery, he just says, I just don't want you to get hurt. And I said, yeah, but Dad, this is football. I'm playing pro football. And he says, yeah. He's like, I do the same thing. So they understand, and they are behind me 100%. And he is, they're both very proud. So, of course, when they're little girl, they don't want to see me get hurt, but they're so proud. And I ordered a bunch of Lingerie Football League stuff for my dad. So he just got that, and he's been wearing his LFL hat so people could ask him about it. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So hopefully this year I'll get him up here to see a game or two. Last year he didn't make it, so this year we'll get him up here.
Oh, you have to get him. So it'll be a nice little time to see his daughter playing some great football, and also a little spring-summer vacation maybe?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
That's great. But listen, let's talk a little bit about Beat the Shark.
Okay.
You know, we're really trying to push this, not only because it's just a really fun contest, but also we really want people to see – you know, you and Heather Furr and Kim Anderson and just, you know, phenomenal athletes from this LFL. Because like you said, when it first started, there was a lot of models, wasn't a lot of, you know, athletes involved in it. But now it's just, it's really gaining. I mean, you know, these tough hits being on SportsCenter and everything. So it's just another part of driving people to the LFL. But let's talk a little bit about Jeff Parrini for a second, because, you know, out of everybody in this contest, it's been you and Jeff basically the two really going at it, which is great. You know, whether it's on Twitter or on Facebook, but I know you like contact sports and you did some MMA. So, you know, one question I want to ask you first is, if you could step into an MMA cage, do you think you have a better chance against Gina Carano or Jeff?
I think that's a given. Gina Carano would kick my butt. I'd be choking Jeff out in no time.
Well, listen, you know, Jeff's a little frail. Just slap an arm bar, and I'm sure he'll tap out really quick and say, "Uncle." So
Jeff just got called out. I hope he heard that.
I'm sure Jeff is out there listening somewhere. We actually tried to get Jeff to call in today so he could have a little fun. And good trash talk here on Fan Junkies Radio, but he can't. But I think it's kind of scary, to be honest.
All right. I think so too. I'm really not a scary girl.
No, you're not. But, you know, it's a contest. Don't get scared of contests.
Right on. Well, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Well, you know, we'll have to definitely get you on again. And, you know, everybody else involved with Beat the Shark. And hopefully one day we can get Jeff on. But you're 7 points out. Do you see yourself catching up and dropping the Shark into second or third?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the first week I admit I threw some real Hail Marys. I should have done a little bit more work on that one. But, I had my fingers crossed. I thought all of a sudden, you know, the world was going to turn upside down. I goofed out the first week, but since then I've been gaining on them slowly, and you know we've got quite a few weeks left, so I don't doubt at all that I'm going to catch them.
There you have it. You know, everybody's jumbled in there. I mean, it's only 10 points separates everybody.
There's plenty of season left yet. Yeah, lots of time.
There's lots of season left, and you know the Shark. You know he'll make some mistakes. He has before. You know, and he's I have to say he's facing some really tough competition from everybody in the LFL right now, which is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I can't answer for the other girls, but I've never picked teams before, and you know, obviously it showed the first week. But you know, this is Jeff's game, and we're gonna beat them.
You're doing a great job so far.
Thank you.
Well, you know what, Jamie, it's just thank you so much for joining us. It was just a pleasure to have you on, and you know, we definitely will have to have you on again. Hopefully, when the season starts, and
absolutely.
You know, even after the Shark, maybe when you're the champ, who knows?
Yep.
Oh, that'd be great.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jamie.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, you Jamie.
Too. That's great. Great stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jamie's just a real class act. It's, you know, I mean, even with Beat the Shark, it's been really good. But before we get to anything else, we do have a caller. Let's take this caller now from the 215 area code. What's going on?
You know what's going on, buddy. It is me. It is the one and only Shark. I am here.
Oh, man. See, look, man, you called it at the end. Come on.
I wanted to get him. Yeah, see, I saw the call up there. I thought perhaps maybe you would jump him on there just in the event he wanted to talk to Jamie.
Oh, I didn't see it. That's my fault. Oh, man. Well, we'll do it in the past. But, Jeff, come on.
Go ahead.
What Jamie had to say. She's going to knock you out, man. She's going to take over the first spot, man. What do you have to say?
She called you out, man.
Oh, heck, I waited for her to get her sign-off before I called in. I had my finger on the button. I said, you know what, as soon as they sign her off, I'll call in. So I'll give her a reason to tick on the button right here, right now.
You're fresh, aren't you, Jeff?
She'll hear me. Absolutely.
See? Come on, I'm not a scary girl. I'm a nice girl. Which she is. She's a pleasure. You know, she's a pleasure. But, you know, like I said, Jeff's frightened.
A little bit. I mean, they're all great girls. I've watched the game. It's tough. I mean,
yeah,
I couldn't get out there and do it. And that's why I talked my smack behind my NFL picks. Now I'm in first place, you know. So.
Well, that's why you tried to hide behind the shark moniker. But, of course, I have to throw your real name out there and tell people who you are. So.
Hey, yeah, say the name. It's fine. Yeah, you know.
Well, listen, Jeff, all right, you've been doing Beat the Shark for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, Beat the Shark and LFL are kind of one and the same. As when you first started doing LFL, you had a lot of models coming on playing against you. And the LFL, when they first started, they had a bunch of models in, not a lot of girls with a lot of athleticism. Now it's totally different for both brands. How do you feel?
It comes away in.
Exactly. I mean, how do you feel going from, you know, playing against these models who probably don't know much about football, going up against these awesome athletes from the Lingerie Football League who know nothing but football?
It feels great because we've come to that perfect median. It's like great competition. Before, yeah. I got to be honest, a lot of girls were, you know, like you said, models, bartenders. So I know there were boyfriends and guys at the bar dying to pick four and to get on their good side. But here I got real people that know football going against a football genius, which is me. I'm a genius. You know, football is my thing, so it's perfect.
Well, let me ask you this. Has this been your best competition yet?
Definitely. These girls are fantastic. You know, I know I'm supposed to be cocky and brash, but you got to give credit where credit's due. It's tight near the top. They're all, like, within a few games, and, that, you know, every week.
10 and 11 points.
Alliance.
Easily, yeah. I mean, everybody's only separated by 10 to 11 points. That's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. They do such a good job. Really, really proud of the competition, and you know, I'll win in the end. I'm not scared of that. But it's been good for the publicity and the media.
Well, yeah. You know, you're actually in first place right now, but you're actually tied with two other LFL girls, which is Sarah Brady from the BC Angels of LFL Canada and Heather Furr from the Chicago Bliss. Out of all of these girls, who has so far been the one that has been really sticking it to you and has been the toughest competition?
There's two different categories. The category of smack talk and put me in my place has got to be Jamie, which I'm glad she's gone. And as far as the game pick, it's got to be Heather. She is excellent. Girl really knows her football. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, even though Sarah's tied with you guys for first right now.
Sarah's real good.
Sarah Brady.
Sarah Brady. She's really good. She didn't have the rain last night, though. The key is to get those upsets. And, you know, Heather had it. I had it. Sarah, you know, better luck later this week.
Yeah, Heather had it. And who else had the Rams? Brianna Schultz from the Chicago Bliss as well had the Rams.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
only three picked the Rams, the rest picked the Cardinals. And I hate to say it, but I picked the Cardinals against Mike.
Yeah. I'm not going on a lot about it today. You know, I'll just leave it alone. Leave it right there. That's one more win I got.
Well,
I'm not doing any trash talking. I'm not doing any trash talking.
Not yet, right? Only at the end. Well, listen, Jeff, thanks for calling, and also thanks for just bringing Beat the Shark to Fan Junkies. It's been a real pleasure, you know, helping you out with this contest, and you know, hopefully for many, many, many more years we can continue to do this and bring in more LFLers, and who knows, maybe one day even bring in some former NFLers to play against you and these LFL girls.
Get them in there.
I like it. It's been my pleasure, guys, and I hope you continue. You guys have been great. And here's a shout-out and a call-out to any LFL girl. I mean, we'll be doing this every year, like you said. I challenge all of you. Bring the whole league.
Oh, listen, you know what? You have eight this year. I think next year you might have about 20 or 30, so which means we're going to have to get to work with our editing skills.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to put on their uniform and get on their field, I'll be fine.
Which, listen, you know what? That was something we were thinking about. I think if one of these girls defeat you, I think we should strap you in some lingerie and some pads and let them take at least one whack at you.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff, this isn't about the field. This is about the uniform. That's what it is. Come on, like, it's great.
Jamie and Roxy both said it. Try putting on our gear if you lose, and let's see how you do with our tackling. So I really need to win.
You know what? I think I need to make some phone calls and set some bets up here.
We could probably work something out once PPL works out.
I'm sure we could work something out. You know, when the season rolls around, if one of these girls win and actually visit PPL Park to play the Philadelphia Passion, I think we could set it up.
I think they would probably love that.
I'm not shy. Halloween coming, I've got some costumes on.
Can you see that up on the big Fanavision there at PPL? Boy, that would be awesome.
I think people will buy tickets just to watch that.
I think so.
My girlfriend will buy a ticket. She'll be in, like, the first row. She'll buy first row seats to watch another girl lay me out.
I'm sure most of your friends and family members will be front row for that.
Oh, absolutely.
And cameras for YouTube. I mean, it'll happen.
Sure. It'll work.
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much, man. We appreciate
it.
All right.
You're
a good sport, Jeff. Thanks.
Great stuff, man. Well, you know, I mean, it's just been phenomenal over at Fan Junkies. This contest has been great. And like I said, we have three girls from the Chicago Bliss. We have Heather Furr, Brianna Schultz, and Kim Anderson. We have three girls from LFL Canada, which is Sarah Brady and Stevie Schnurr, who plays for the BC Angels, and Roxy Rowe, who plays for the Toronto Triumph. And then we have Jamie and Angel Schiller, who play for the Green Bay Chill. And it's just been phenomenal. These girls have been just great. It's been a great contest. And, you know, if you haven't yet checked it out or even checked out anything LFL, I really just go. You won't be disappointed. I promise.
Yeah. You know. It has been. And, you know, with this kind of thing, we're just going to keep going with this.
Absolutely.
You know, as we get closer and closer to the season, I think you can expect that we're going to be covering more and more of this sort of thing.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be coming up.
I really honestly think I think we need to have a beat the shark with an LFL pick'em starting in April.
That would be actually pretty cool. Yeah.
You know what? We got a couple of the LFL girls, you know, and you know, the shark, and who knows, maybe even us and a couple of former NFLers. I mean, you know, I think it could happen.
I was going to say though, I don't think they wouldn't pick against their own team. So,
well. Probably not.
Yeah, you'd have to figure out how you'd work that one.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know what? If they pick their team, you know, good for them. I mean, I would too. And I'm sure you would too. I mean, you know, we're not Pete Rose.
Oh, that's a low one.
I know. I love Pete Rose. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's a whole other, you know, thing. And that's one of the things that disgusts me about baseball. But let's stay with football and let's stay with the Rams and Cardinals, who we just spoke about with Jeff. You know, not so great of a game last night. The Cardinals fell flat. They're 4-1. The Rams were, you know, decent, but you got to give it up to the Rams defense. 9 sacks on Kevin Cobb last night for 52 yards lost. That's just phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, you say it wasn't a phenomenal game. I guess you could say it wasn't. I don't know. I looked at it from the standpoint of what I saw defensively coming from St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If you like games that are nothing but defense, it was a phenomenal game. If you like to see some offense, then, you know, it was a mediocre game because Bradford threw 2 touchdowns, but Bradford didn't look that good.
No, he didn't. He really didn't.
For 21-69 rating, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, besides the 9 sacks, Cobb didn't look terrible. I mean, you know, he threw 50 times because their rushing game is just horrid, but...
Make no mistake, there's your Jeff Fisher signature coming at you with that defense.
Oh, absolutely.
And, excuse me, for this to be game five, week five, and to see the kind of impact he has already had on the Rams defense, I think it's phenomenal. I don't know if anybody would have expected that, you know, so much of whatever he's doing with that defense would have taken quite the effect together that it already has. This early, but that's what I was really impressed with. Not to mention that I'm going to tell you right now, you know, everybody was drinking the desert Kool-Aid and saying, okay, well, the Cardinals are 4-0. They're not a great team.
Yeah.
They really aren't.
They're not.
I'm
not going to say they're not a great, I mean, they're not terrible, but yeah, they're not great. You know?
Yeah. I mean, they're
mediocre at best.
I mean, they beat a couple of good teams in their for their 4-0 record.
Yeah.
Uh, that. I'm not going to deny them that. I mean, you know, you go out and you beat New England. Listen, you got to there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, you know, to me, you had to know they're really not. They're not a real 4-0 team. So that's why I'm saying, you know, listen, you had to know it was gonna explode. The bubble was gonna burst sooner or later.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to me, you're gonna go into St. Louis. They were only a 1.5 point favorite. Arizona was. I'm saying to myself, no, St. Louis is gonna win this game, and they did, defensively. They won the game defensively.
Yeah.
All right. As you point out, I mean. Was not a terrific, tremendous.
Yeah, I mean,
offensive
it wasn't a good offensive showing at all. I mean, even Steven Jackson was just subpar. You know,
right.
It's, you know, I mean, 76 yards on 18 carries, but still, it's.
And
you
then,
know.
Of course, you know, now offensively, they're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
By the fact that they just lost Amendola.
Yeah. Oh, big absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because he's been. I mean, you know, one reception last night for 44 yards, but on that dive and sprawl. I mean, you know, what was it, a collarbone injury?
Yeah, it's collarbone. Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so what sidekick right now they're on Facebook this morning? I think he's saying go get CO or go get Ocho.
I mean, you would think they would. I mean, listen, even Plaxico Burress. I mean,
I would sooner take a chance, I think, there than I would on either of the other two.
Honestly, for what they're going to cost, it probably won't be a bad idea to bring in both Plaxico and Johnson.
Would you? I mean, but seriously, could you see T.O. working with a Jeff Fisher team? I can't.
No. No, absolutely not. T.O., listen.
It's not going to work.
I said this when he signed with the Seahawks, and, you know, me and you and Sidekick, we went at it about it. T.O.'s done. T.O. is done. That's it. He's done. And, you know, Plaxico still has a little bit left only because he's a red zone threat.
I think that T.O. could be. I think he could be a red zone threat.
I think if you take Plaxico's red zone threat, and mix it in with the way, you know, Chad Johnson could still run and give that to T.O., maybe. But T.O.'s done. I'm sorry. I mean, he hasn't really shown much since he's been out of the league. And even coming in, I mean, even with the amateur teams and the Wranglers and all that other stuff you play with, he just doesn't have it no more. Plaxico can still do it, which he showed with the Jets, which is why I'm still very shocked that he's not signed
yep.
to an NFL team. Very shocked at that, to be honest. And I was still hoping that the Jets would bring him back, especially after you know, losing Santonio Holmes, but instead they're bringing freaking Jason Hill
right.
without even working him out. Chad Johnson, I'm not shocked at that he's not in the NFL. T.O.
I'm not either.
I'm not shocked at it all because he's done.
Yeah, I like your idea. And Sidekick, if you're listening, I think Plaxico might be the guy that your boys ought to be thinking about going and getting.
So you know what? When they're on the 30 and 20-yard line and Bradford throwing it up to Plaxico, I think that would be huge for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, might be a good solution to at least some of it anyhow.
Yeah, just a little bit of it. But like I said, you know, the offense has not been very strong for St. Louis. And, you know, Bradford came into the league, you know, kind of, you know, popular in a way. I mean, you know, he looked good in his rookie year.
Yeah.
He went down with that injury last season.
Right.
This season, he doesn't look good. You know, and last night showed it. You know,
well, he hasn't looked consistent.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, you got to remember, and this has been my argument watching some of the Rams games, and I've watched actually quite a few of them because frequently Sidekick's here on Sunday here at the frat house, and so we'll have the Rams game on. His offensive line is not giving him any time.
Yeah.
And therefore, his numbers look really, really bad on Monday morning when you're looking at the box score, but in fact, it's really you may not be seeing what Bradford's capable of because he's not getting any time.
No.
Offensive
again,
line is terrible.
Damn, that sounds like the Jets' offensive line.
Yeah, it is. Actually, though, I've actually seen more St. Louis games than I have Jets games. Watching that Jets game last week reminded me a lot of watching the Rams games.
But then again, now let me ask you this. When you have a terrible offensive line, right, and a horrible running game, which takes away from your play-action plays and, you know, takes away from, you know, taking tacklers off of the quarterback. Is it the quarterback's fault that he can't do anything? And I'm talking about a Bradford. I'm talking about a Sanchez. You know, do they deserve this kind of criticism when you have that horrible of an offensive line and running game behind you?
Well, and that's why I'm actually withholding some criticism at Bradford yet this year. You know, you say he hasn't looked very good this year.
Yeah.
I say he hasn't looked comfortable. Yeah. Well, who would look comfortable when you constantly have two and three, guys coming at you who weren't even touched off the line? I mean, if that's the way it's going to be every single play, of course you're not going to look comfortable.
Yeah. Listen.
So I'm actually withholding criticism on Bradford. Sanchez, I think there's a little bit more. You've got a little bit more there, a little more time, a few more games there that you can judge him on than we've been able to do with
Bradford. Absolutely. Only because the offensive line with the Jets in Sanchez's first two seasons was rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed by what he was able to do in the pass action, running out, basically running the ball up the field. You know, the turnovers were still there, but he was able to make more plays. And I hate to say it, but he helped guide the Jets to two damn AFC Championships games.
Right.
You know,
there you go.
That's what happens. Now, Damian Woody retires. It all trickled down from there. Slauson, Vlad Dukas, Austin Howard, these are not starting offensive lineman types. They're terrible.
Right.
And that's what you see on the St. Louis Rams offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They even brought in, Wayne Hunter. You know what I mean? I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I can say right there, if he's playing and starting on the St. Louis Rams offensive line, I feel terrible for Sam Bradford.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But, I mean, you could go and look at, man, they had this, you know, they're having the same problems that the freaking Jets did over the last two seasons with their offensive line, and even this season. It's terrible.
The thing that I'm a little bit – the one thing I will say with regard to the offensive line with St. Louis, while it may not get necessarily corrected fully this season, you can bet under Jeff Fisher it's going to get corrected shortly.
Man, I tell you.
And see, that's where
Fisher call up Mike Tannenbaum and help him out or what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where I have a little less confidence in your Jets over there.
Well, because they're never going to fix anything.
They don't address things. That's
the only
right.
way they're going to fix anything is if they either get rid of Tannenbaum because, you know, now he's showing that he's just inferior. And I hate to say it, but I honestly, and I keep saying it over the last few shows, I think it's time for Rex to go only because I don't think he holds people accountable for what they do. And, I'm tired of this swag talk and nothing coming from it. It's embarrassing.
Well, Chris, he doesn't hold himself accountable.
No, he doesn't.
Get it straight. If you're not going
to
hold yourself accountable,
how are you
going
to
hold anybody else accountable?
I want him to come out and say, the only reason why I'm not giving Tim Tebow a chance is because Sanchez is the better quarterback, but behind this offensive line and with this running game, I don't care if you have Tom Brady back there. He ain't doing nothing.
We've talked about this one.
You've
said it. You're absolutely right.
Yep. Napping the whole game on their back. All right, let's end the football talk because, you know, Wednesdays are usually our heavy football day, and I feel bad for you people, you know, always having to put up with our football talk, but there's just so much crap.
Why? Why? It's football season. Nah, this is what everybody wants.
So many other things going on. That's, you know, and it just, you know, we devote a lot. I mean, I love football. I could talk about football all day long, but, you know, there's a lot of other listeners that like MLB, that like NBA, so, you know, I'm sure they want to hear a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? So in that case, we got a little over 15 minutes left in the show. Let's switch it over to NBA. We got a couple of topics we want to talk about, Mike.
Yep.
First being Shaquille O'Neal and Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
You and me were, once again, we agree to disagree on this.
A little bit.
Dwight Howard's calling. Well, Shaq called that. Well, I'm not going to say he really called out. He goes, I don't think Dwight Howard's a prototypical center because he doesn't play with his back to the basket. Being an NFL, an NBA fan, being a former player and stuff, I kind of agree with Shaq because, yeah, a center should be able to play with his back to the rim or be able to roll out for the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Dwight Howard's come out with, he took pure offense today. Instead of saying, okay, maybe I'm not a prototypical center, but I played the game a different way and it's effective, you know, came, oh, Shaq played the game, he's done, I don't listen to him, he's trash talking to me. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Mike, let me ask you first. Who side with Dwight Howard on this? Why?
I'm with Dwight. Shaq, shut up, okay? Dwight Howard, you're going to – the guy – Shaq is sitting over on the side. sideline making judgments about this guy, and this guy's probably one of the best in the entire league. You know, I just say shut up. That's where I've come down on it. I mean, plain and simple.
I agree with you that Dwight Howard is the best center in the NBA, only because the centers in the NBA suck.
Okay, so wait a minute. What is Shaq hoping to accomplish here? We going to change this guy's game? If you're already the best, why are we going to try to change it?
Honestly, I think Shaq is speaking out more at the actual center position in the NBA than he is Dwight Howard. But he's using Dwight Howard because Dwight Howard is the best and most popular center in the NBA.
Okay, so when you're going to start pointing fingers, then you better be prepared for a retort.
Yeah.
And Dwight Howard gave him his retort, and his retort is basically, shut up, you're done.
He's not crying over it. And I guarantee you Shaq's going to come back out and say something about it. Because
of course he is, because let's get it straight. This is what Shaq's doing. Shaq's not addressing the center position. What he's trying to do is make the news.
Let me ask you this.
do you think that this is Shaq trying to fire Dwight Howard up, or do you think it's just that Shaq is basically, like most other former NBA centers, just not happy with the center position in the NBA?
I think it's Shaq being an egotist. That's what I think it is.
Shaq's not an egotist. Shaq's awesome, man.
I think it's Shaq pretending to be a media analyst.
Yeah.
Truthfully. I mean, honest to God. Seriously.
Oh, you know what? Listen, if there's anything Shaq knows, it's the center spot. And like we spoke earlier, you know, you had the finesse players in the league like a Patrick Ewing, a Hakeem Olajuwon, a David Robinson, even Dikembe Mutombo played with his back to the basket.
Okay.
The way the center position was played from the 80s up until the mid-90s. When Shaq comes in, he basically played a different style but still with his back to the rim, and he used – put it this way. Shaq was the first center in the league to actually come in, not a tall, lanky guy, but a muscular dude, and he played up to that.
Right. Now, you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Shaq had some unique qualities that not many people had.
Yes.
I compared it this way. When Shaq came down the lane, it was like a bowling ball.
Yes.
All right? Now, there weren't too many centers that were doing that or were even capable of doing that.
Yes.
So is Shaq, in other words, my point is, are his comments based on what he was? Well, wait a minute, Shaq. You're unique. We may not see another Shaq again. So why are we suddenly putting a finger out there and
you'll
saying,
never
play
see another
it my way?
You'll never see another Shaq, and you'll definitely never see centers like Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right.
The guy that could basically play lights out. It'll never happen. It'll never happen.
I would say never, but
– It won't because that part of the NBA is dead. You know, that was a different style of play. These players came up being coached by a different mindset of coaching, and to me that's gone. And you can see it in today's centers with the Dwight Howards, the Samuel Dallenbears, the Andrew Bynums, the Brooke Lopez's, even the Tyson Chandlers. You know, it's a different style of play. The center position is more defensive now than it was years ago because you tried to get most of your offense through the center position back then because you had guys like Hakeem Olajuwon who could roll out to freaking 15, 20 feet and knock down a shot.
Okay, but listen to what you're saying, Jonathan. You're saying the game has changed.
Oh, no, it absolutely has.
Okay, so therefore, if the game has changed, why are people like Shaq pointing fingers out there saying, hey, why aren't you doing it my way? If the game's changed and you're admitting to that, well then...
No, you know what? It's not Shaq saying you're not playing it my way because nobody could play like Shaq's way. You know, I think he's saying, hey, listen, this, you know, and you know what? Actually, you know what? Let me throw this out here. A few years ago, George Mikan, NBA legend, he passed away, right? Mm-hmm. Guy had no money, so Shaq paid for everything. His funeral,
right.
Casket, tombstone, whatever, which was phenomenal. They didn't really know each other. But Shaq said, because of George Mikan, there would be no Shaquille O'Neal. Now, if you look at the two games of George Mikan and Shaquille O'Neal, two totally different games, but it was because of players like that that Shaq said, wow, this is a great position. I'm a tall guy. Let me play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, you know, Shaq tried his ass off. Shaq tried to have a fadeaway. Shaq tried to have a hook shot. He just didn't have the accuracy to it. So when
it was ugly.
He pushed his way and he bullied his way as far underneath the rim as he possibly could.
Right.
So much credit.
But he could do that.
Yes, he could. But then again, if you look at Dwight Howard, he's kind of doing the same thing. I mean, his shot's a lot better than Shaq's.
Yes, it is.
But his shot is nowhere near as good as anybody else's. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. To me, it's just, you know, like you said, the game has changed. I agree with you on a point where Shaq should say, hey, listen, let's talk about the center position, not Dwight Howard, and say this is how it's changed and this is how it's evolved over the years. There was a better way of saying it. I agree to that. But then I also agree that the center position in basketball is just flaky now. I mean, you know.
I don't have a problem with it, and I think it's because of what you say. And look, I've been watching basketball as long as you have. You know, I might even go back even a little bit further. And I have watched the game evolve, as you point out. I don't have a problem with the product that's out there. Let's put it that way.
I do. It's totally different. I think the NBA was more exciting, 12 years ago.
Now, you know, if we want to talk NHL, then I'll talk about a different. Then my whole theory changes.
Yeah. Well, listen. If you could even, you know, look at the '90s, you know, the 1990s of basketball up until about 2002, 2003, on up till now, the games are two totally different things.
Yes, they are.
Totally different. Not even the games up, but the position changes as well. Years ago, you had point guards who made the plays. Everything was about the pass. Everything was about the assist. Today's point guards, everything is about making the shot and basically taking the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, the power forward position was all about rebounds.
Yes.
Rebounds and defense. Now the power forward position is all about offense.
Listen, you want to see a completely different game? Go relive. Go relive what I lived through, and that was 1983 with the Philadelphia 76ers. Winning the championship.
Yeah,
so watch those tapes and compare it to what we have now.
It's just amazing how the game has changed of basketball. And like I said, I think Shaq could have came out and said, hey, listen, this is not the way basketball was played for 50 years, whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The positions were always the point guard was there to make the pass and to play defense. The power forward was there for the rebounds and the defense. The center was there for the offense and the rebounds and the block shots. Now it's just like it just evolved into a whole, another story, which to me, NBA is less enjoyable now the way the game is played than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Man, I can't believe it's been that long. You know,
listen to you. Listen to you. And I'm just citing 1983.
Yeah. Even when you had guys who didn't have an offensive game, like a Mark Eaton from the Utah Jazz, what did he do? He's like, man, I suck offensively. Let my ass play defense because I'm 7'5" and I can just stand here and just put my arms up and nobody can score me, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the way it was. You know, it's just, you know.
That's right. That's the way it was.
Yeah. To me, there's. You know, say what you want. Oh, this guy jumps. He makes dunks. That's not basketball. I'm sorry. You know, Julius Erving could do the same thing, but Julius Erving could shoot lights out if he wanted
to.
Well, same thing with Michael Jordan. Yeah, whatever. He was in the All-Star in the slam dunk competitions, but Michael Jordan could do anything on the floor. Anything.
Michael Jordan could do anything is right.
Play defense.
Anything.
Know? But you know what? There was a lot of players like that.
Yes.
You know, there was a lot of players like that. Scottie Pippen could play defense. He could score. He could, you know, he could rebound. You know, these players today, they focus on one part of the game and screw everything else, which is why when we talk about, my New York Knicks and why I'm so happy that they're bringing in defensive players, they've been nothing but offense the last 6 years.
Well, with all the
because you have to have a rounded out thing and you have to be able to play defense and offense.
With the exception of the late 70s,
yes,
early 80s, era, yes. Mid-80s era of basketball.
Yes.
I think the next best era I have ever seen was the Michael Jordan era.
Oh.
Because of, as you're talking about, there the league was rich, not just with Michael Jordan.
No,
there were Michael Jordan types scattered throughout the league.
Yeah. And look, and you know what? And the funny thing is when players are coming to the league at that point, you never heard, oh, this player is the next Michael Jordan. No, because they didn't have to be.
Exactly.
You know? Years ago, you had a player that when he came to a team, he stayed with that team for as long as he possibly could. And no matter win, lose, or draw, they tried to win in that city.
Okay.
Which is the reason why I don't respect the likes of Dwight Howard, LeBron James, whatever, because when they get the first chance they get, they bolt, leave everybody behind them, go to these talent-rich teams like the Miami Heat and win. You know? That doesn't cement your spot in the NBA legacy.
You crack me up because you sound like an old timer like me, and I'm telling you, get over it. This is the way the game is.
It is, but it's not the way it should be. You know, that's why it bothers me that people.
But Jonathan, we could say that about every sport.
Nah. Listen, Charles Barkley came out and said LeBron James is going to be the next Michael Jordan. He came out just a few days ago. No. He's not. Because Michael Jordan made everybody around him better. LeBron James didn't.
Did LeBron himself actually say that out of his own mouth?
No, Charles Barkley did.
Oh, Charles Barkley did.
Even, listen, man, come on. Ever since he came out of high school, you know, LeBron, and I've heard him say it, you know, he goes, I could potentially be the next Michael Jordan. No, you're not.
Listen, nobody's going to be Michael Jordan, and anybody make that statement is a fool.
You might be better than Michael Jordan, or you might be just under Michael Jordan, but you're never going to be Michael Jordan because the guy was just phenomenal his whole career.
Absolutely.
He made players around him better, you know. Sorry, you know, when he left, Bulls were nothing. Scottie Pippen couldn't do a damn thing. You know, Jordan comes back, they win another three championships. Come on. You know, he made players better, you know. And that's what you don't see from the Dwight Howards, the LeBron James. And I hate to say it, but the only player I can really respect in the league right now is Dwayne Wade. Why? Because he's staying with his team, and it's his team. It ain't LeBron James's team.
Well, I hear you.
You know? Good for him, you know. And that's why I respect players like, even though they're not doing much for the team, but I respect an Amare Stoudemire because why? He left a good team in Phoenix to say, hey, let me help rebuild this New York Knicks team who has nobody.
Do you think Wade would still be there if LeBron if LeBron weren't?
Yeah, I honestly believe so, only because Dwayne Wade he loves Miami. You know?
Let's get it straight. It's a heck of a lot easier for Dwayne Wade to say that now when he's got LeBron sitting on the bench next to him.
Honestly, he had his chance when even after Shaq left. I mean, he could have either got his way out of, Miami, or I believe he actually signed an extension when there was nobody on that Miami team.
I think you're correct. Correct.
Yeah. So you got to give him credit. You know, and even when they were talking about, he could potentially leave and go to the Knicks, he stayed before they got anybody. They didn't have a Chris Bosh. They didn't have a LeBron James. He still stayed in Miami. Mm-hmm. You know, when they knew that, not only were they going to get Amare Stoudemire, but they could have potentially brought in Dwayne Wade.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm going to stay in Miami. What the hell am I going to go there for?
Right.
And he stood up to his principal, and you know what? I respect Dwayne Wade for that.
Well, I appreciate your purity, I suppose is what I'll say, with regard to your sentiment about players staying in one area. But I guess my point is that's not sports, any sport, Jonathan. That's not baseball. That's not football. That's not hockey even anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the whole concept of free agency, these guys are going to run with the money, and that's where it's going to go, and that's it.
But see, it was different before. When a team made a trade or a signing, it was to benefit the team. Now it's the players are like, no, I'm not going to the Memphis Grizzlies. No way. I'm either going to L.A., or I'm going to Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
Well, otherwise, lose me in free agency. It's spiraled out of control, man.
Well,
there
you go, which is why I have always hated John Elway, because that guy was the first guy that ever sat there on draft day and said, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Or a J.D. Drew who says, don't you dare draft me, Phillies, despite the fact you have the number one pick.
You know what? The Eric Lindroses, the Eli Mannings. I mean, you know what? It started in that late.
That's
but the thing is, back then you had maybe one player every so many years actually have the have the sack
to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Now it's every player just because they feel like everybody owes them something.
But make no mistake, the genesis of it all goes back to that.
Oh yeah, it does. Absolutely. But the thing is that the personalities in the NBA now are just worse. And it has been like that for a while.
Well, you know, a lot of money and fewer players to spread it around to. So
it's sad.
That's what you've created.
All right. Well, I guess basically the consensus is the NBA sucks now. Let's get back.
Boy,
it
doesn't take much to get you turned around, does it?
Nah. But anyway, listen, it's our last show. Not our last show, but it's, you know, we're just running down on time here. So I'm going to take the time out to once again thank our guest, Jamie Jacobson of the Lingerie Football League's Green Bay Chill, for coming on and talking LFL and Beat the Shark with us. Phenomenal. Such a great personality.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you to our listeners once again. We'll be back Monday, episode 15. We're going to have some more guests lined up very, very soon for you, and you're going to be very surprised at who we got lined up in the near future. And as always, head over to fanjunkies.net, sign up, interact with other fans, And also head over to frathousesports.net. Say hello to Mike. Read their great content over there. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Mike, thanks so much, and we'll see everybody Monday.
All right. See you then.